Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Annie Cyrus is a human rights activist. She fled from Iran as a teenager. Now, as an American citizen, she is an advocate for freedom and speaks out against the abuses of Islam. She's founder of Live Up to Freedom. She's the producer of the Glazoff Gang, and she can be seen on Patriot TV. Annie, welcome back to Illinois Family Spotlight. Good to have you here.
It is so lovely to be back. Thank you.
When we spoke back in 2021, I asked you how Christians can live up to freedom. So how can we do that today when there's censorship and we see our religious freedom eroding? And if you speak out now, you run the risk of being put on a terror watch list.
Well, that's true. But let me give you two different answers, if it's okay. Number one, as Christians, our freedoms are given to us by God, not man. So why are we so afraid of man taking them away? Where is the faith? It is our duty as Christians to speak the truth and deliver the truth. So I would say, number one, maybe we all just need to look into the level of faith we have lost in order to gain the popularity of our society. The second question is, if enough of us would do what we're told not to do, that might possibly push the enemy back a little bit and have them think twice before coming after us, being put on terrorist list, being put in prison as political prisoners, being censored, being fired from your job, whatever the consequences, let's face them together. How many of us are they going to arrest? How many of us are they going to put on lists? At some point, they're going to have to regroup and come up with a different strategy.
What parallels do you see with the 1979 revolution in Iran, with that revolution, and what's happening in America today?
So let me put a note there. So I was born in 1983. Technically, I heard the stories from the mom and the grandma, but I can say, even though I was born after the 1979 revolution, I actually faced more consequences and more punishments and more oppression than those who were involved with it and didn't do anything about it. Because by the time I arrived, it was fully, completely taken over, it being the country, right? But what I do know, but doing my own research, reading the history, hearing from family members, the biggest wow moment of looking at what's happening here in the United States of America is the moment of they will get tired and go home. That was the mindset of many Iranians who thought all of these people on the street, all of the mullahs, all of the Islamic leaders are just going to get tired and go home. So they didn't actually do anything about it. You look here, starting from, I would say, probably 2 years into Obama term, we are still waiting for them being Marxist, Islamist, socialist, American hatings. We're waiting for them to get tired and go home. They're not going to go home unless we push them back, send them back home.
And they're becoming more extreme, and they're proud of it.
They are becoming more normalized.
Normalized.
They were always extreme, but now it's very normalized. You know, we hear about bombing, we hear about a Muslim screaming Allahu Akbar and driving their car into the crowd, but we don't even flinch anymore because it's normalized. Hey, big cities come with terror attacks. Isn't that what the mayor of London said? Now we expect it to happen.
We've reached that point. That's kind of scary, really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you believe that President Trump will be better able to contain Iran's terrorist activities and its influence in the Middle East than Kamala Harris?
President Trump would at least try.
Really?
Here's the thing. Kamala, I don't even want to say it, but let's say the Democrat Party administration, because I don't even want to name her as possibility. They won't even try. They've been enabling Iran. Remember, as of October 2021, right off the bat, they started the indirect negotiations with Islamic Republic of Iran on the nuclear deal. They started funding them again. They started lifting sanctions. They started leaving billions of dollars in military equipment for Taliban to take in Afghanistan. So it has been an enabling process. Now, we go back. Do I have fact to say President Trump will absolutely get Middle East under control? Yes, because he was already in the office for 4 years, and during those 4 years, Islamic Republic of Iran's regime literally almost collapsed just because of the sanctions. They were broke.
The next administration, what should they do to contain Iran? Should they blow up their oil fields? Should they take out their nuclear facilities? What?
You mean an American administration?
Yes.
No. No, I would say the very first step is you're going to walk away from the nuclear deal immediately, and you're going to all the sanctions and put them back from the individuals of the government all the way to the entire country. You do that. Then you get back to supporting Israel, because Israel has what it takes to take Iran. But if they don't have our support, they can't do it. So we need to support Israel.
So we let Israel do the job with the oil fields and the nuclear facilities.
Yes.
If it comes to that.
Yes, absolutely. Right. It's just more feasible. If you think about it, the distance, the military, the intels, everything Israel is holding on to, it's just more feasible for us to support them to deal with the problem.
Is Iran ripe for another revolution?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
It all depends on the next administration in the U.S.
Really?
Genuinely, all depends on the next administration. Remember, the uprising of Mahsa Amini, it was the closest we've ever witnessed a possibility of overthrow of a regime since 1979 of them taking power. However, under Biden administration, they again received no support. Their internets were shut down. The moment the government of Iran cut internet on people of Iran, 3 days later, we actually allowed their president back then, Ebrahim Raisi, to come to New York and give a speech at the UN. That is not how you help people who are trying to save themselves, right?
Right.
So again, depend on the next administration. Yes, people of Iran are ready for the revolution. They're just waiting for the right time, which again comes to Israel and United States of America's administration.
Well, how could the next administration help that revolution? Through the CIA? What? You know, what methods?
Oh, no, none of that, actually. Again, goes back to the moment we put all the sanctions back on the government of Iran. Now, when they don't have the money, when they don't have the budget to fund other terrorist groups such as Hamas, ISIS, you know, all of them, Hezbollah, the biggest one, they also won't have the power inside the country to keep it under control. Sanctions from our end. And again, as I said, the second part is if Israel has the backing, imagine one attack from Israel to Iran and then people of Iran taking the streets. They're going to complete each other.
Yeah. When you see what's happening in America today, pro-Hamas rallies in the United States, anti-Semitism, how do you react to that? What's your response to that? These are scary times.
They are. And here's the thing, actually, with the pro-Hamas rallies, those who are there to support Hamas don't scare me as much as those who are there saying the wrong chant, not even knowing what they're fighting for. Those people scare me more. We have our own students, college students here in America, who could not point Gaza border on the map for you, joining these rallies. It's not because they're defending Palestinian Authority or Hamas or Israel. It's the fact of they have been given order of create chaos in America. Because when we have enough chaos, well, there are so many tricks we can play, right? I mean, an election could be postponed. What do you know, right?
Sure.
Our own kids' hatred for this country is the reason they're showing up. I want to be very clear. A lot of these people you see on the streets doing the pro-Hamas rallies are not Hamas supporters. They just hate America.
Do you think that hate is fostered in our government school system?
100%. Absolutely. We don't teach our kids anything good about America anymore. We dig the dark sides of history and teach it to people, to our kids. We are pretty much using terminologies that, even though I don't have a kid, I hear some of it, you know, oh, you're being a bully, even though maybe a kid is literally just a stating fact. We are sheltering our kids' feelings and identities so wrongly that anything that's not to their liking becomes the hate.
As someone who has lived under tyranny in Iran, what must Christian schools and what must homeschool parents and grandparents really hammer down on?
Well, our Constitution, our founding fathers, our freedom, our liberty, and our history. When they try to tell our kids that President Lincoln was a Democrat, we bring up evidence and we show them that's not true. When they try to make your kids hate themselves simply for being white, you show them in the history of how many white men sacrificed their lives so we can have the freedom we have today. But you always and always go back to how our Constitution is the closest to perfection of freedom and liberty in the history of human society.
Well, this is Illinois Family Spotlight. We will continue our conversation with human rights activist Annie Cyrus after this.
Hi, this is Pastor Kelvin from Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights. It is time to get your children and grandchildren out of the godless government schools. How can we subject our loved ones to forced, ungodly psychological examinations and perverse sexual teachings? You would not send your child to a school that teaches 2 + 2 = 5. What is being taught today is far worse and damaging to minds and hearts. We can help through our on-campus Christian school and homeschool program. For over 55 years, we have operated a Christian school now in Arlington Heights, and we have served hundreds of thousands of families across our nation and foreign countries through our homeschool program, Christian Liberty Homeschools. Visit ChristianLiberty.com to learn more or to schedule a tour of our excellent 12-acre facility. Take action today. Visit ChristianLiberty.com, ChristianLiberty.com.
Racism, it's rooted in sin, not skin. This is Ken Ham, a publisher of the award-winning family magazine, Answers. Critical race theory is sweeping the West. It teaches that what's on the outside, our shade of skin, is really what matters. Those with light skin just can't help being racist, and those with dark skin can't be racist. But racism isn't ultimately about skin shade. It's about our sinful hearts. Because all people have sinned, as the Bible teaches. Anyone can be racist. Prejudice and partiality aren't sins that only some people can commit. Anyone can sin against the Lord and people in this way. Every person has the same ultimate problem, sin, and we all have the same ultimate solution, the Lord Jesus, who died in our place and forgives all who repent.
There's so much more to discover from God's Word. Get answers when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com and listen to this program again or view a transcript at AnswersRadio.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Annie Cyrus is a human rights activist. She fled from Iran as a teenager. Now, as an American citizen, she's an advocate for freedom and speaks out against the abuses within Islam. She's the founder of Live Up to Freedom and producer of the Glass Off Gang. Annie, back in 2021, we discussed a little bit about the influence of Islam now in our government schools. Well, is there more of it today?
Of course there is. So let me give you a quick update. Since last time we talked, today we have more than, I want to be very specific because I don't have the exact numbers, more than 267 Sharia-obeying Muslim representatives across the country, from local to state to federal. And every single one of them have openly and publicly said that they are running for these offices, and when elected, they are going to push for Sharia to be placed locally, state, or federal. Originally, I want to say 2022 is when the biggest hit came of the Muslim representatives winning. When we previously talked, we had less than 80. Today, we have more than 267.
When you bring up Sharia, and I'm supposing that a lot of people say, well, that's just a Muslim thing, and if they want to do that in their communities, Okay. But is it influencing outside the Muslim community?
Well, first of all, it's not okay. Remember, any American, because as you know, I believe if you claim to be an American, you shall respect the Constitution of the United States of America. Inside our Constitution said, no foreign law is to be practiced inside the country. Sharia, translate to English, Islamic laws. So no, not even okay for Muslims to practice a foreign law inside the country. You want to practice Islamic law, go to Islamic countries that are practicing Islamic law. Now, that technicality aside, of course they are. Because, look, Rashida Tlaib doesn't make laws inside the Congress for Muslims only, does she? No. When Ilhan Omar is trying to push for an anti-Islamophobia act, that's not affecting Muslims, it's affecting us. Anyone who criticizes Islam will be punished. And that, again, goes back to the root, just for anyone who might think these are just assumptions based on bad memories of my childhood. I'll be very clear, inside the Quran itself says, when you are superior in number, do not call for peace, as I am behind you. They are becoming majority in numbers. These days of we can coexist are ending soon. The end for Muslims is when every breathing human is a Mohammedan. As long as non-Muslims exist, they have to fight to turn it into all Islam.
Tell me about Live Up to Freedom. You're rescuing young women. How do people connect with you?
Of course, Live Up to Freedom. I want to say I never thought when I came to America, now being 22 years ago, one day I would need an organization to remind my fellow Americans that you should live up to freedom. I always thought they are. But at Live Up to Freedom, we do rescue victims, either girls, women, sometimes even men, victims of Islamic barbarism. We also now have a regular programming, educational programming, when normally it's me by myself. Sometimes I might have an expert discussing Islam and Islamization and red-green axis. And all of that information is easily accessible through liveuptofreedom.com.
Is your work more difficult now as a result of illegal immigration, what's happening at the southern border in particular?
Yes. I would say it's more difficult to be heard. Because for every one of me speaking the truth about Islam, there are 60,000 who are lying about Islam. So they are being echoed with help of mainstream media, social media, politicians, even actors and actresses of Hollywood on the stages reading verses of Quran that was cherry-picked, not complete. So it's becoming harder to be heard. And that's where the biggest challenge is.
Annie, thank you so much. I have this question. So a Muslim family moves next door to me. As a Christian, how should I respond?
Neighbor. That's a tough one. As a Christian, I would say open a conversation with them. Let them know that you're not judging them, but you have concerns about the faith that they follow. Because a lot of time, your Muslim neighbor is going to say, what concern? What are you talking about? And you're like, you know, Quran 551. They're like, what is it about? Yes, a lot of them have never read the Quran beyond their daily prayer, or beyond what their imam preaches at the mosque. Let them know that you have nothing against them, but you have your concerns. And I'm not trying to give you false hope, but sometimes you might be able to open that conversation to where you might actually end up with your, you know, reborn Christian neighbor instead of the Muslim neighbor.
It could happen. We serve a God who created the heaven and the earth, so we can't give up hope, but we should also have our radar up too, right?
Exactly. We can't give up. They are just like us. I have always said the number one victims of Islam are Muslims. We need to be there for them if their hearts and ears and eyes are open. We can't give up on them either. So just open a conversation. Don't attack them. Be clear. You don't know them. You have nothing against them. But there are certain concerns about their faith that you like to discuss with them. Give them a chance to either hear your side or give them a chance to realize they're not following what they think following.
All right. Thank you so much, Annie Cyrus. Once again, how can people connect with Annie Cyrus in your ministries?
Well, appreciate the opportunity, and liveuptofreedom.com. That's liveuptofreedom.com.
Annie Cyrus, God bless you and all your work. And thank you, folks, for tuning in. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.